Sisters Podcast.
What's the background on your phone?
Batman riding a dinosaur.
I got as far as the dinosaur and then I was like, what else is happening there?
Batman.
It should be Robert Pattinson in his stupid suit on the dinosaur.
Aw, I like it. He has no neck.
He does have no neck. He's like, dinosaur. I imagine that's what he'd sound like.
Yeah, I guess so.
Hello, you're listening to the Odd Sisters Podcast. I'm Marcy.
I'm Allison.
I'm Julia.
I'm Batman. I wanted to start off with a small, not correction, but addendum, I guess, to my Martha Corbin episode, where I sent it to you guys already, but we were talking about at the beginning of that episode with the kids being in another town. And we had somebody send us a message about that. She's a co-host of her own podcast. It's called Where Does It Podcast.
Oh, okay.
She was saying that it was actually really common at the time for kids to go to another town to work, that the parents would like lend their kids out to another, like they would go and they would work on a farm,
right? Because
for labor and things like that. And then that family that got the labor would send something else to that family as an exchange. So it was,
her parents were killed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And they weren't there.
And we were like, where were they? Why were they? We had a whole joke about them robbing a bank in another town.
Yeah.
So they would be like, they weren't in school definitely at the time. They would have been working or doing something, some sort of like, because they were young kids that were able-bodied to do things, so
they wouldn't be in school. They were children.
They were working on a farm.
Yeah, but this is farm like equipment. A whole other era. Like their
tiny hands make tiny work.
Exactly. Yeah, they can reach in and grab things that other people can't.
I've seen Snowpiercer. Okay, let's go.
I'm kidding. It's the second time that's come up today. Well, they used to be, that's like Victorian era London, right? Like in industrials, they would use them to like reach into machines and things like that.
Yeah.
Don't make me do a Tilda Swinton impression. It will be terrible. I guarantee it.
But today we're not talking about that.
Okay.
We're talking about something else.
No, we're not going to talk about children being mangled by machinery.
No, I really don't want to go into that. Anything else?
We already did. I talked about that a bit at on our Christmas Carol.
Our Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, Merry Christmas.
That's exactly the time when that would have been.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
You guys ready?
So ready.
I'm
born ready.
No connection.
Phone's not ready.
August Engelhardt is who we're going to talk about today. Okay. So August Engelhardt was born on November 27th, 1875 in Nuremberg, Germany.
You can't tell by his name that he's
Engelhardt.
German.
He left high school to study and become a pharmacist. You know how you do. Like, fuck this.
Screw this education. I'm going to go get another education.
High school in Germany is actually called a gymnasium, which I thought is
sounds terrible.
What?
That's just what it's called instead of high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Does the whole thing just take place in one giant gym?
No.
Oh.
Is it all in a jungle gym?
No.
Climb higher.
He became a pharmacist. He developed an interest in health and started to focus specifically on health through dietary habits. So he's like, I'm just going to do actually kind of like an off the cuff kind of, because it's not written down. But at this time in Germany, the government that existed in Germany at the time was very strict. It is rules based. It is very much a very stereotypical caricature of Germany. Yeah, exactly. 1875 is obviously pre-World War I. And the time, there's a lot of people that are leaving the cities at this time and going out into the countryside, and they are becoming vegetarians. There's a big focus on almost like they're almost bohemians before there's bohemians.
They have like a neo-pagan.
Yeah, they're very occult-ish. Like exactly. Thing. They're like hippies before hippies. They are like the original. It's very much just a free living. Like it was so cool. Mm. The country was, before World War I, that country was going into a very neat direction.
That's a shame.
So I mean, there's a lot of things that are a shame about
turn.
That. Yeah. So that's the world that he's living in. Okay. But at the same time, it's also like Victorian era rules. It's very uptight. Mm-hmm. Most of the world is like that. Very strict, very proper. And then there's these few kind of groups of people that are breaking up from that. Okay. So in the fall of 1899, Engelhardt joined the Jungbrunnen, which means Fountain of Youth. it's an association of wild living that was founded by the brothers Adolf and Rudolf Just. Their basic principles were vegetarianism and nudism. Hmm. The two best isms.
I hate when people name their children things that sound similar.
Rudolf and Adolf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lazy.
Yeah. So he joins a nudist cult that's vegetarian. Hmm. It was here that Engelhardt got the idea that the human diet, remember, he's focusing on dietary health, mm-hmm. that the human diet should consist solely of
schnitzel.
And nothing but
schnitzel and beer.
Coconuts.
Oh.
Yep.
Just coconuts?
Just coconuts.
They give you water. They give you, I don't know,
cocoa?
Insides. What's that called?
The coconut flesh?
Yeah. Coconut flesh? The meat of the coconut? At some point, Engelhardt had decided that coconuts were the fruit of God.
Mm. Is a coconut a fruit?
Yeah, I guess so.
I thought it had to have now, seeds to be a fruit. Is that right?
I don't know.
You know, those lines are so
blurred.
Yeah.
Who knows?
What is it then?
Because you pick up a vegetable tray at the, supermarket. Are there tomatoes in there? You better fucking believe there's cherry tomatoes in there. They have seeds.
Yeah, you're that fucking kid in school that's like, did you know tomatoes are fruits? They're not vegetables.
You mean yesterday?
Did you know cucumbers are fruit?
It's 1201.
So we think that maybe Engelhardt had some sort of head injury at some point.
Did a coconut drop on his head?
Because
it was his eureka moment.
Ah. There's a point where he's just like, healthy diet, vegetarianism, nudity, like, great, let's go be the part of this cult.
Okay.
And then coconuts become a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So why coconuts? Well, Engelhardt, it's very hard to say that. It's so guttural. Mm-hmm. His coconut obsession was rooted on a thin observation. The coconut, with its spherical shape and furry shell, is the fruit that most resembles the human head. Therefore, it is the most ideal fruit for man's consumption. Quote, we can expect from God that he created our food in the shape of our heads, unquote.
Why?
Engelhardt's reasons? Coconuts are, quote, vegetal human heads, and they alone are the proper human nutrition.
This does not reflect well on vegetarians.
Coconut, they're crazy. So he's in this cult, and he starts telling everybody his ideas on coconuts and how they look like their heads, and God made this, we should be eating it.
He's the crazy guy in this cult.
The Just brothers thought he was fucking crazy.
Wow.
What? They expressed their thoughts vocally and often. He was pretty much ostracized. He was like, they were like, coconuts. Get the fuck out of here.
Coconuts do not look like human heads.
No.
They don't.
No.
She just
shrugged like, maybe. No.
They really don't.
I mean.
Oh my gosh. I'm hungry.
There is a great photo.
What a coconut.
There's a great photo where it's like the back of a baby's head and somebody's just put like a kiwi sticker on it.
That's good.
But I don't think that coconuts.
No,
look
I don't
like
think so either.
At all.
I don't really
think. And anyway. Also, why does that mean that you eat it?
That you eat it because they look like a human head?
Yeah.
This is exactly the problem that we have. The reasoning is thin. Like it is.
Yeah.
It's thin.
Yeah, but then also it's like, but there's so many other, like, I could say an orange looks like a human head. It's round like a human head.
Yeah, but it's small. He's thinking it literally looks like a human head growing
on
a tree.
My head's bigger than a coconut.
Not yours, but other people's.
This is a while ago.
I remember when Colin was a kid, we were driving somewhere once and he was like, he was so young. He was in a car seat and he was sitting there in the car seat and he's just, hey dad. It's like, yep. Have you ever seen a coconut? Yeah. Would it fit in the car? Like, yes. How big do you think coconuts are? And then we went to the store and bought a coconut. And then I remember it stayed in the trunk and went rotten.
Yeah.
But it was just like, what do you mean? Like, how big do you think a coconut is? Anyway, kids. Kids are dumb. So the Just brothers, The Yeast brothers were arrested due to the fact that the practice of nudism was considered illegal and immoral, and they had been spearheading this nudist cult, so they were arrested and taken away.
I feel like there's bigger concerns.
So Engelhardt was left to his own devices without the ridicule of his leaders. In 1902, the now...
Oh, wait, he was left behind?
Yeah, yeah. They didn't arrest the cult Rudolph members, just Adolf. The leaders.
Oh.
Rudolph and okay. Adolf were arrested.
Yeah. Okay.
In 1902... sorry. The now 24-year-old packed very little clothes and mostly books into a couple of trunks.
And 20 coconuts.
And jumped on a steamer ship bound for German New Guinea. German New Guinea is the northern part of the island of New Guinea. Or it was at the time. I don't think it still is. He managed to obtain...
It picked itself up and moved.
No, I don't think it's
their
German.
Empire fell apart.
Yeah, very shortly, actually. We're almost there. He managed to obtain the 75-hectare coconut and banana plantation on the island of Kakakon for the low, low price of 41,000 marks. I actually have no idea how much 41,000 marks is. I don't know if that's a low or high price. And then he set to work starting a cult.
Oh. Coconut cult.
Cocoa cult.
Cocoa cult.
I'm only
crazy
thinking...
for cocoa cult.
I'm just thinking about Cacacon. The Mighty Boosh right now.
Cacacon.
Milky Joe.
That I couldn't stop thinking of Milky Joe all the I can entire time right I was now. Writing this.
It better be, his cult better be like a bunch of coconuts on sticks. Mm-hmm. And he's like, they look like human heads.
What's his girlfriend's name? Lily White? Precious Lily White.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I have to watch Boosh. Okay. Yeah. Engelhardt saw the sun as the ultimate giver of life. Okay. To him, the sun and God and the coconut were very much the same.
the three circles of life
were very much the same as the indivisible holy entity, much as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one and the same in Catholicism.
The Father, the Son, and the holy coconut.
So it's the sun and God and the coconut.
I'm just imagining so many like religious paintings where it's like God with like his hands out and then Jesus, and then there's usually like a dove, but instead of the dove it's just coconut
with wings.
Yeah.
Somebody please draw this.
Yeah.
I need this picture.
Like both of them with like halves of coconuts and they're just pretending to like
So because he's the sun, the coconut, and God, he named his cult Sonnenorden, which is the order of the sun. And the point of it would be to worship the big ball of fire in the sky and eat nothing but coconuts.
Mm.
So 4 years before setting sail for his paradise island, him and his friend penned a piece called A Carefree Future, The New Gospel, which aside from meticulously outlining his very specific ideas for it is full of page after page of writings about coconuts.
I'm sorry, this guy has a friend?
He has a friend. Thousands of pages on writings of coconuts. Most of them are poetry, coconut-based poetry. Oh. There is The Coconut Spirit and How to Become a Coconut Palm.
And you sound like songs by Donovan.
Or the Beach Boys.
And Mother Coconut, which starts out, quote, "Coconut, noble princess and benevolent mother of men, likeness of God you are, and divinity in shape of a plant."
Interesting.
Hmm. Coconut poems.
Yeah. So when do they write the lime and the coconut?
Spoiler, Harry Knowles is a member of the coconut cult. So according to a New York Times article from the October 15th, 1905, quote, his plan was to have his sect worship the sun. He held that man was a tropical animal, not intended to live in caves called houses, but to wander as Adam did, with the sun beating upon him all day and the dews of heaven for a mantle at night. Living such a life, he believed that the healing and curative powers of the sun would in time render a man so immune that sickness could be overcome, unquote. He also started to believe that consuming mostly coconuts would lead to immortality.
So when does his whole cult die from like scurvy or something? Yeah.
The further Engelhardt's philosophy developed, the more dramatic was his testimony. He claimed that the noblest organ of the human body was the brain, because it's nearest to the sun, and he denied that such a noble part of the body receives its strength from the deep and dirty digestive tract. Quote, he suggested and said that instead that the brain receives its energies from the hair roots, which in turn are fed by sunlight.
He's losing his mind.
too much sun, I think.
So he ruled over his coconut island and his coconut cult members, all German disciples, and together they sunbathed for hours and swam in the cool ocean waters and read books. Remember I said how he packed mostly all books? He brought 1,200 books with him.
What?
What books? I'm just going to show you a picture for a second. A picture of him. It'll be on Instagram of him at his hut. Look at all the books behind him.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
A massive bookshelf. It's like an island hut made of straw, and then there's just a bookshelf with 1,200 books on it.
There's 1,200 books on there?
I mean.
Did he cycle through them?
Some of them are rented out, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some are on the beach. Read. Exactly.
I wonder what books they had. Like Gulliver's Travels.
I don't know.
That's it.
Christmas Carol.
Yeah. So, and of course, they ate a fuck ton of coconuts.
Any, like, anybody's name is just replaced with the word coconut. Coconuts Travels.
At its peak, the island had 30 members. That's it.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about
That's
right.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
Anything over that, I'd be like, wow.
Yeah.
But that number didn't last long, as almost everybody that joined died very shortly after arriving, either from malnutrition or malaria, because they're from northern Germany, and now all of a sudden, they're in New Guinea on an island on a plantation with no shelters.
That's crazy, though. At what point do you, like... There has to be a point between you getting there and dying from starvation where you're like, I think I need actual food.
Yeah. Including his friend who helped him pen the Coconut Manifesto. And his wife had followed Engelhardt to the island. And when his friend became ill, his wife convinced him to eat something other than coconuts to recover.
Can we sell t-shirts that say Coconut Manifesto?
We should make them. So she convinced him to eat something other than coconuts to recover, but he didn't. He died. And when he died anyway, Engelhardt blamed his eating of other fruits rather than believe the coconut-only diet had caused it. He never would have died if he ate those fruits.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man. Shouldn't have ate that mango.
Right? That's exactly what she told him to eat. In the spring of 1904, Engelhardt himself became very ill and was taken to the hospital on the mainland.
From what?
Not surprisingly, he was in alarmingly bad health. Standing at 5'5", that's how tall he was, he weighed a total of 86 pounds.
Yeah. I think you should say that's how short he was.
Yeah, he was pretty short.
He looked like it in the photo. He looked very thin.
Yeah. He said his whole body was itchy. He had he had skin ulcers and was unable to walk.
Yeah, that's probably normal. Not sunscreen, right?
I mean, yeah.
There's no, they didn't have sunscreen.
But like the sand,
you just rub coconut,
sitting coconut oil,
sitting in the sand all day, and like the
his
heat
hair must have been lovely.
Yeah,
he was making coconut oil. He was producing it and selling. They were selling a lot of stuff too.
Yeah.
He stayed in the hospital under intensive care for a very long time. But
so he made it out okay. Everybody else just perished.
Yeah, he went to the hospital.
Yeah, somebody took him to the hospital.
No, that's a guy you don't take to the
hospital. Towards the end of his recovery, he fled and went back to his island. He ran away. Can I go back? For nearly 2 more years, he continued to live the, quote, pure and natural life. He only attended to his plantation, but the coconut apostle became a point of interest for tourists in German New Guinea. So he wasn't running a cult anymore. Like, he was just on his plantation doing his thing. And he becomes a tourist interest. It was a must for everybody to go to Kakakon. That was what it's called, right? Yeah. Cool. And be photographed with the only remaining cocoa-ivore.
Cocoa-ivore. That sounds like a convention. Coco-con.
Coco-con.
That's the Conan O'Brien convention.
Fuck.
Coco-con 2020.
So people are like, Germans are traveling to German New Guinea, and then they're like, oh, we got to go to this island and see this guy
because he's a fucking weirdo.
He's a cocovore. Really weird word.
Yeah.
Go. So he hired a plantation manager to help him because he weighs 86 pounds and he owns a plantation. His name is Wilhelm Bradka.
Bread?
Brad.
He only eats bread.
Bradka. Anyway. So he's living on the island with him. He's the only other person living on the island. Choice. All of his disciples are gone. And he was very concerned for his health. He encouraged him to eat meat. Quote, better to eat pork and live than to eat coconuts and die. According to the New Zealand Herald, quote, after Engelhardt felt seriously ill, the group's numbers dwindled. By 1913, before the outbreak of World War I, he was alone. He turned his attention to cultivation of plants and the healing powers of them, interviewing many of the local people on the subject. So he actually became kind of like, he just kind of wandered and was like a started studying plants, and he was very interested in, like, again, he really liked the idea of, like, healthy eating and diets and what plants did to heal us and the natural cycle of the earth and how we should live off things. It's just, I don't know, he got obsessed with the coconut thing. So German New Guinea was actually captured on September 11th, 1914 in World War I. In early 1915, Engelhardt was interned for 3 weeks in an Australian camp as a prisoner of war, but he was dismissed as a crank. They thought he was crazy. Yeah. They didn't want to deal with him, so they just let him go.
Yeah, crazy. He lined up a bunch of like coconuts on the beach and gave them little like cannons.
Yeah. Get him.
He's like, protect me, coconuts.
So he returned to his island, which was now occupied by Australia. His plantation was now managed by another German planter, Wilhelm Merow, who later sold it to his Australian wife to escape exportation by the Australians.
Sorry, he sold his Australian wife?
The island.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, he was married to the island?
Well, his island was taken over when he became a prisoner of war.
Okay.
And the man that owned it let him stay there, but then he sold it to his Australian wife.
Okay.
So now it's all owned by this Australian. It's not really owned by him anymore.
Okay.
He continued to study the indigenous medicinal plants. And he actually sent a lot of specimens to botanical gardens in Brisbane and Sydney. There was a whole thing about how they're actually still there. There's like a botanical garden in Brisbane and his plants are still in that garden.
Oh, cool.
Sample that he sent back.
Wow.
Yeah. There is very little known about the fate of Engelhardt himself. It's widely assumed that he died in his mid-40s.
Murdered by a coconut.
He turned into a tree.
Right. Nearly 17 years after like setting foot on the island.
Yeah. Yeah, like.
His head is a coconut.
Yeah, he just accepts it.
That's so, she just, turns into like, a tree, right? Like she walks away and then all of a sudden there's just a tree there.
Exactly. Yeah, Tessa Thompson turned into a tree.
Yes. You didn't imagine that.
It's canon. So they did find his body on the island. There's kind of like a discrepancy on the date. That's why they think it's like his mid-40s. But it was 17 years after setting foot on the island. There's no gravesite. They have no idea where he was buried.
He wasn't.
It was discovered on the shores of Papua New Guinea. So I guess he like washed up. Or he was just there on his island or on the shores. Anyway, he weighed 66 pounds.
Ugh.
That's upsetting. Is that a bit of wood? Oh, no, that's a human.
That's a man.
It's just he's so tanned.
He really is. There's a picture of him here. There's another one. He's the man lying on the ground.
Not dead.
Oh, not dead.
Holy, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I said a bit of wood because there's Australians there.
A bit of wood. But yeah, that one, he's like emaciated in that second photo.
Yeah.
He looks great. Those are some nice ribs.
Yeah.
I think
he was really chasing that thigh gap.
It might be easy to dismiss Engelhardt as a domineering madman or a deranged eccentric or a maniacal cult leader. You could really just laugh at him and think he's out a little bit of things.
Everyone.
But I think that in a lot of ways he really like kind of like you feel a little bit sorry for him. Like in a little way, I think I do anyway. So I looked through some of his writings and like the Coconut Manifesto and things like that.
Yeah.
He writes a lot. He had a very unhappy childhood.
Mm.
And when we were talking about.
Now I feel sorry for him. No. Use that information before we seemed like horrible people.
But like.
Oh, okay.
But again. The society at the time and how it was changing and how people didn't seem to fit in. As an adult, he was very, very shy and insecure, and he believed he was ugly and hopelessly awkward around women. He was very artistic, and he thought outside the box. And I don't know, in that society, like you can see why he went into the nudist cult. Because in that society, when you feel like you're hopeless with women and you're awkward, but you're artistic and you're expressive and you want to do something that's different and cool, but then you're in this society that's so strict and stringent. I don't think that like going to an island and starting a cult was necessarily the best thing to do, but you can kind of see why he ended up there. Like he's definitely a product of his time.
Yeah.
But speaking of product of his time, I think it's interesting how many parallels are drawn between that and today's kind of organic healthy living. I just wonder if Engelhardt was here today and that was something. First of all, I was talking to a friend about it and they were like, well, he would have had more access to information So we would have been able to be like, no, eating nothing but coconuts is bad for you. But there are lots of like fab diets out there that are bad for you, and people still jump on it mm-hmm. because somebody's like, this is the natural way of things. I just feel like if he came around today and pitched it would take off.
Everything is okay. There's definitely foods that are better for you than like eating donuts, but it's all like moderation, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like spinach is really good for you, but if you only ate spinach, you're going to get
that's the same with like
a lot of health problems.
Eat too many bananas, you can die. Like there's nothing that's so good for you that that's only the only thing that you should eat. We're supposed to have a level of nutrients in our mm-hmm. body. But
they did that with kale a while ago, right? It was like, put kale in everything. It's the superfood. And then it was like, you should probably eat kale maybe like 3 times a week.
Yeah. Well, somebody, I know a girl, she owns like a health food restaurant and everything. Like she's really into health food. But when quinoa became a thing, she was eating quinoa for breakfast. She was eating quinoa for lunch. And now she's so allergic to quinoa. She can't even have like a bite of it or she like will like, can't do it. But she was making it with like raisins and cinnamon in the morning and having it like oatmeal, and then she was having it with a salad at lunch, and then like she ate it like every day for like months at a time till the fact that her body was like, fuck off.
no more.
So it's kind of a coconut cult.
Sure.
Coconuts.
I don't know if we should feel sorry for him though, because he maybe led to the death of at least 30 people from starvation and malaria
before he
died from one of those two things.
But he also seems like the kind of person that would have followed someone into that. Mm. I don't see him as like this charismatic, like I think he had an idea and he was kind of like this, and then he explained his points and people were like, okay. Like I don't think he coerced.
Like,
I don't
like
think
malicious.
He had. Yeah, yeah. I don't think he had cult leader tactics that are the same as like a Jim Jones type. Like, let me lead you into this thing. He was like, I'm going here. Here's my philosophy. And again, because of the societal change at the time in Germany, there was a handful of people that were like, this works for me. Mm-hmm. And then the conditions were just off. Like you can't change your climate like that instantly without shelter. First of all, like you're going to get sick.
And it was a time where it was early enough that like people were finding out stuff like that. And it's things that we still do today just mm-hmm. because he had one that was wrong.
Yeah.
Right. But like there's a lot of things that people were, they had an instinct on, they acted on it and it was right. And we're still doing shit like that. Whereas like his was clearly very wrong, but like somebody had to try it, I guess, to know that you can't do it. Like to us, that sounds ridiculous. But at the time, like there was so little.
Yeah.
Public information. And well, like you said, guy, like he would be like an influencer or some shit on Instagram.
He would be. He
He'd
would
be like tagging like,
well, there's
like products like coconuts like in his posts.
There's this guy. I can't remember his name now. Shit. My friend used to be vegan and she had this book called, it's called Raw, and it's like a raw food vegan diet mm-hmm. Where you can use your oven, but you can't go more than like 150 degrees or something. And it's like a slow cook for some things, but mostly everything is raw that you eat. And the guy that wrote this, like kind of like started this raw food vegan like trend. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember his fucking name, but he literally looks like this guy. And there's pictures of him in this book of him like in the ocean and like picking things from a tree. And what it reminded me of was this guy. Like they look very similar. He has the same hair. He had like I'm going to have to ask her who it is. It's something like Jonesy or something. His name is like, or I can't remember, but we used to laugh about him all the time. Cause it's like, you'd go flip through this book for recipes, but then there's this picture of him and it's like, but why do you have to be in your cookbook? Like, anyway, that's beside the point.
I want attention.
Exactly. But, there was a thing that I was reading with the guy that he wrote the Coconut Manifesto with. And, while he was on the island, it said he was writing articles and sending them back. So they were being published in the most popular vegetarian magazine of the time. It's like there was multiples, but apparently there's like a big swing of like vegetarian magazines that were being published on like how to eat, like how do you live like this and what do you do? And how, like, so again, I'm seeing all these parallels from like that to this. It's like I said, bohemians before bohemians, like. Yeah. It's just kind of...
It's a shame he wasn't obsessed with pineapples, because as soon as he started eating the ham, he could have invented ham and pineapple pizza.
Mm-hmm. Better to eat pork
German,
and live
Canadian.
Than coconuts and die.
That's ours, even though I hate it. But I'm very protective that it's ours.
There are very few things that are ours.
It's disgusting, but it's ours.
It's our disgusting mess.
Yeah. You're welcome, I guess.
Anyway. Yeah. So that's Engelhardt.
Wow.
And
guy.
He started a coconut cult. My sources, again, I've just been deep diving through Atlas Obscura. Go through it, man. Go through those fucking articles.
Mine's from there, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. It's a great source for things.
Perfect.
So. But I didn't really use actually.
I didn't know your voice could go that low.
No, I know that was crazy. Often. I use their. I'm sourcing them for like a jumping off point. I looked up all the other things from there after their article.
I could do my Batman voice, but that involves me like
tears.
I wouldn't be able to speak afterwards.
Yeah, don't do it. Do it on the last one.
Follow us on Instagram at the Odd Sisters Podcast.
Give us some stars on iTunes, please. Yeah.
And please. Follow us on Twitter, Odd Sisters.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
All right.
TTFN.
Ta-ta for now.
Bye.